Good afternoon and welcome to the meeting of the Plans Committee. There are a number of things I would like to remind people of before we start with the items on the agenda. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that does not disrupt the business of the meeting. Also, so that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everyone present to please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to silent. Otherwise, the fine goes to the Mayor's charity. We are not expecting any fire alarm tests this evening, so if the alarms sound, please proceed to the nearest fire exits, which are situated to the side and the rear of the meeting room. Toilets are available, and these can be found through the doors at the back and to the side. Thank you very much. We now move on to the agenda. Do we have any apologies?
I've received no apologies, Chair.
Thank you. The minutes of the previous meeting held on the 20th of May, can I confirm those as a correct record of that meeting, please? Thank you. Item 3, we have no questions under Committee Procedure 12.8. Item 4, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest.
Chairman, I know Mr. Gary Ford through a professional capacity. We used to work a number of years ago together.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Right.
Hello. Mr. Last, very posh, isn't it? I received an email asking for item 2 on the agenda, and I believe we were all copied into it, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lowe. Yes, we have. And when we get to item 2, I do have a statement to make before we go to the discussion.
That's fine, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? No, thank you. We now move on to item 5, which is the planning applications, which is on page 5 of your agenda, and we move immediately to page 6, planning reference P/17-2070/2, and I will ask the officer to present this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So item 1 on page 6 of the report, the application seeks planning permission for 2 free-range egg laying units and an agricultural worker's dwelling with access on land west of Rempston Road in Houghton. To start with an aerial photography, which I've annotated to give members an idea of the site's context and point out some features that members will need to be aware of. This is the site area here, edged in red. For ease of reference, I've numbered the fields number 1 and number 2. This is Rempston Road, otherwise known as the A60, with Houghton to the south and Rempston to the north. Yellow lines show the public right-of-way, which run within and within the vicinity of the site. Kingsbrook runs along the northern edge of the site and acts as the boundary between Charnwood and Rushcliffe. The yellow stars here and here indicate key listed buildings that you need to be aware of. This one here is the Grade 2 star listed Stamford Hall DNRC. And this one here to the far north is Rempston Hall, a Grade 2 listed building. The green spots here indicate the nearest unrelated dwellings. So the nearest dwelling from the proposed building in Houghton is 500 metres away, and to the north in Rempston, 700 metres. The topography of the area is undulating, with the majority of the site being located within a valley landscape, with the land rising away from Houghton and then falling down again towards the Kingsbrook and then rising again towards Rempston. This is the site location and site layout plan. So you see the red line here shows the site edge of the site area. The site area measures 34 hectares and is set out across 2 arable fields. The application seeks full planning permission for two agricultural buildings and an agricultural workers' dwelling, which is located here. The application also includes 1.5 hectares of native tree planting. The proposed buildings would be used as free-range egg-laying units to each house 32,000 birds, with access being obtained from Rempston Road. The number of birds exceeds the 60,000 threshold for EIA development, and the application therefore has been supported by an environmental impact assessment. The scope of the EIA set out on page 7 of your report. The proposed use and operation would also be controlled by the EA under the environmental permitting regime, the scope of which is set out in their consultation response on page 10 of the report. Relevant development plan policies and consultations are set out on pages 10 to 14 of the report. The applicant's justification for the application is set out on page 7 of the report. In terms of site photographs, so that members are aware of the various vantage points, I'll take you around the site in a clockwise direction, starting at the most southerly point of the site, just here. This is the most southerly point of the site within Field 1, taken from public right-of-way H88, just off Rempston Road, looking north. The location of the proposed building is not visible from this point, as the land rises and then falls again down towards the location of the proposed buildings. This photo is taken from the highest part of the site, of the, within Field number 1, looking north, where the public right-of-ways H88 and H90 meet. This photograph is looking northwest from within the field towards the direction of Stamford Hall, which you can see just here. This is taken from the most southwesterly corner of the site, looking north across Field number 2. This is taken from the most northwesterly corner of the site, looking east across along the public right-of-way that follows the line of the King's Brook. This is looking east again, further into the field, heading towards Field number 1. And this is looking back west in the other direction. This is taken at one of the lowest points of the site, looking south in the direction of Houghton. This is at the boundary between both fields. A public right-of-way runs along this edge of the field in a north-south direction. This is taken looking north along the public right-of-way across Field number 1. And again, taken from the same point, looking east across the field towards Rempston Road. We've moved back down the footpath, now looking east along the site's northern boundary with the Kingsbrook to the left here. And looking back across Field number 1 in a westerly direction with the Kingsbrook on the right. And this is taken looking towards a northerly and eastern edge of the site towards Houghton beyond the ridge of this field. And this is taken from the pavement along Rempston Road looking west into the site. And this is Rempston Road looking south. And again, looking down in a northerly direction. And finally, taken further up the hill, looking north along Rempston Road, the site is obscured at this location due to the well-established trees and hedgerows. This is the proposed landscaping proposal. 1.5 hectares of land is proposed for planting, which equates to about 3,750 trees of a wide mix of native species, the specification of which has been agreed by the council's landscape officer. This is building number 1. You see the point of the access here and the location of the proposed agricultural workers' dwelling. And that's a section through the site there to give you an idea of scale. And again, building 2 in the second field. In terms of the elevations, members that were on the site visit today would have seen the units at Pawdy Lane at Six Hills, which are identical in terms of their form and scale to what's being proposed here. They are 140 metres in length, 20 metres in depth, 6.3 metres to the ridge, 3.6 metres to the eaves. The silos are 7.6 metres in height, and each building is externally faced in timber weatherboarding with a green profile sheet roof. This is the agricultural workers' dwelling. Again, members on the site visit would have seen the example that was at Six Hills, which again is identical to the one that's proposed here. It's a 1.5-storey, 3-bedroom dwelling with a grey slated roof, red reclaimed brick walls, a brown-stained wooden porch gable, lead dormer facings, and brown PVC windows and doors. So in terms of the key issues for members to consider, the starting point for decision-making on all applications is that they must be made in accordance with the development plan, unless material considerations indicate otherwise. The application site is located in the countryside where the principle of agricultural use is accepted in accordance with CT1, subject to there being no harm to the countryside. The need for an agricultural workers' dwelling has been independently scrutinised, and it is accepted that there is a functional need for the dwelling and that it would be economically sustainable. In design terms, the development is considered acceptable and complies with the provisions of the core strategy policy CS2 and Save Local Plan Policy EV1. It is not considered that there would be sufficient harm to the landscape or the setting of heritage assets that would sustain a reason for refusal. The application is considered to comply with policies CS11 and CS14. It is accepted, as set out on page 16 of the report, that there would be harm to the users and enjoyment of the public right of way where in close proximity to the proposed buildings. However, this harm would be reduced over time as the landscaping matured. And in light of this, it's not considered that a reason to refuse the application on such grounds could be justified. In terms of the impact on the environment, concern has been expressed regarding the effects of noise, odour and flies. These considerations are set out on pages 16 to 19 of the report and would be controlled by the EA permit and mitigated by conditions as set out at the end of the report. The Environmental Health Officer raised no objection to the application and again reiterates that the use and management of the farm would be controlled by the EA permit. Given the reasons set out in the report, it is not considered that the proposal would have an adverse impact on the environment in terms of ecology, residential amenity or health. As such, the proposal accords with the core strategy policies CS2 and CS13 and Save Local Plan Policy EV1. In terms of highway safety, to refuse a planning application on highway safety grounds, it must be demonstrated that there is severe harm caused by the proposal. The proposal will generate a minimal number of vehicular movements, as set out on page 21 of the report, and the Highway Authority are satisfied with the proposals and raise no objection. In summary, the application proposes an agricultural use on agricultural land. The design and layout of the proposal is considered acceptable in terms of its form, scale, along with its impact on amenity and highway safety, and would comply with the development plan policies and the advice contained within adopted guidance. Whilst concerns have been raised with regards to the impact on the landscape and public rights of way, as I said, these impacts would be mitigated over time with the significant areas of planting. The recommendation is therefore to grant conditionally as set out on page 23 of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Now we have a number of speakers, and I understand that Mr. Philip Crawley and Mr. Gary Ford, on behalf of agent and on behalf of the applicant, if you'd like to come to your seats at the front there, please. And I understand you're splitting the 5 minutes, 3 minutes and 2 minutes each. Thank you. I'd like to take a seat. I think you've... have you been clarified about the traffic light system? and we also have a buzzer. As you're splitting the 5 minutes, after when you've got 30 seconds left, the light will go amber, and you will also hear that, just to remind you. Okay, so if you'd like to take a seat. And Mr. Crawley, are you starting off, or is Mr. Ford?
Mr. Crawley starting.
Okay, thank you very much. If you'd like to take a seat, and you have to press the button. I think you'll see it's on your right-hand side.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning Committee. My name is Philip Crawley, and I'm Joint Managing Director with my brother of Sunrise Poultry Farms Limited. I'm speaking in favour of this application. We've been established in Sarby Village since 1970, and we're now the largest employer in the village, employing 75 full-time people based across all roles. We are needing to grow our business in an effort to maintain business resilience, because as of 2025, all of the major UK supermarkets will no longer be selling eggs from caged chicken production. And this currently makes up around 45% of our business. In order to maintain this critical mass for our business, we need to replace this lost volume, or at least maintain and hopefully increase the throughput in order to be efficient. Should we not be able to replace the 45% of cage eggs we sell, our business would no longer be efficient, and this may well risk major job losses. Surely this should be avoided. Yes, I agree. We have successfully applied for a number of poultry buildings in the Sarby Seagrave area, for which I am very grateful that planning permission has been granted. This is an agricultural building in an agricultural area, and as such does not conflict with many planning policies. There has been historical issues with flies, predominantly in 2001. After that, the business successfully worked with Charman Environmental Health, especially Mrs. Beverly Green. Since then, there has been negligible problems, and especially important, there has been no complaints regarding the type of housing we are proposing for the Houghton site. This is known as multi-tier free-range housing, where the manure is removed from the site twice weekly basis. In order for flies to breed, they need both a breeding material and warmth. There is no way you can take the warmth away from a chicken house because of the poultry living in there. So by removing the manure twice a week, you are taking away the potential breeding material, and hence Sunrise or Beverly Green of the Environmental Health has never had a problem with one of this design of sites since we started using them. Indeed, it is the preferred design method from the Environment Agency and complies with what is known as best available techniques. The application, although employing an additional four full-time people on site, will add business resilience to ourselves and help secure the jobs of the other 75 people working at Sunrise, especially as the colony production is reduced due to customer demand. Egg consumption has been increasing steadily throughout the UK, whereas 5 years ago the UK had a laying flock of around 33 million birds. It is now in excess of 40 million laying hens, and as such there has been an increase in the planning permission for free-range houses all around the UK. I fully admit to having spoken against the development of houses closer to our main site on Seagrave Road in Sarby. This is a very different site to what we are applying for at Houghton. The Sarby site has around six times as many birds on it with a manure store on site. I do genuinely fear that if houses are built close to the main site, it will cause a detriment, and indeed on appeal the houses will move further away. This site is markedly different, with around 85% less birds, no manure on site, and no neighbours within 500 metres. The odour modelling has proven it will not be detrimental. The Environment Agency allows an upper limit of 3 odour units to being acceptable, and the nearest sensory receptor will have an odour unit of 0.6, a reduction of around 80%. I hope you can understand this is substantially different, and the modelling and science proves it will not be a detriment. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Crawley. Thank you. Mr. Ford.
Hello, my name is Gary Ford. I'm the NFU's lead expert on poultry covering England and Wales. I've been with the NFU for just over 10 years. The NFU represents over 44,000 farming businesses. Some points that I would like to make in support of the application. By way of background information, all leading supermarkets have committed to stop selling eggs from hens kept in cages from 2025. Kantar, a leading provider of consumer data, has shown that consistently over a number of years, consumers want free-range eggs. For example, over the past 12 months, sales of free-range eggs have grown by 9.8%, whereas barn egg sales have declined by 11.2% and cage egg sales have declined by 5.5%. Free-range is the only sector in growth. The supermarket suppliers such as Sunrise are therefore having to invest in free-range farms to meet this demand. UK self-sufficiency for eggs is currently 89%. In the year 2000, it was 93%. We are going backwards in our ability to produce UK eggs and to feed ourselves, which I suggest is not good. Overseas production, the major exporters of eggs around the world, such as Ukraine, India, USA and Argentina, are still using the old-fashioned battery cages. These were banned in the UK in 2012 on welfare grounds. If we don't expand our homegrown production, we will end up importing eggs to meet demand, eggs produced in the systems that are banned in the UK. For me, the message is clear. With a growing population, with an increased demand for eggs and the uncertainty over Brexit, we need to encourage our farmers to grow their businesses to increase UK food production. In summary, the NFU supports development of the poultry sector to meet growing consumer demand for free-range eggs, to safeguard rural jobs, diversify the local economy, and to contribute towards national goals for sustainable food production. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now have Mr. We'd like to take your seats again. Thank you very much. Mr. Eady, on behalf of Houghton Parish Council. The same system will apply, but this time, once there is 1 minute left, the light will go amber and you'll hear the buzzer. So when you're ready.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here today in my capacity as a councillor for Houghton Parish Council and as a resident. Over the next few minutes, I intend to challenge the conclusions of the planning officer on four major issues: open countryside, use of the area as a local amenity, potential for pollution, highway safety. Open countryside. We are in the process of submitting a Wolds neighbourhood plan. Important features of the plan are the open spaces and the rolling hills to the north of Houghton Village, a conservation village. It is imperative that it is recognised that the proposed chicken farm, located only 500 metres from Houghton, is not simply a farm, but a significant industrial development. The current Charnwood strategic plan does not identify the proposed site as an area for development. Policy CT2 states that where development is acceptable in principle, it would only be permitted where it would not harm the character and appearance of the countryside. Loss of amenity. As noted by the planning officer, the proposed site will be located alongside public rights of way, one of which runs close to King's Brook, part of the Cross Britain Way, a recognised long-distance footpath, which is used by walkers from throughout the country to raise money for the Macmillan charity. A second pathway currently provides wonderful views over Stanford Hall and the Duke of Westminster Lake, sites recently enhanced by the formation of the DMRC. A third, if this planning permission is granted, will be enclosed by agricultural netting. These public rights of way are used regularly by residents of the Wolds villages, Loughborough residents and people from further afield. Residents from these areas can easily reach the footpaths without the need for cars or public transport. These footpaths pass through rolling setting characterised by open views, and one of the sites proposed for the chicken shed is currently covered by wildflowers, including beautiful poppies. The proposal would profoundly and permanently have a detrimental effect on the use of the pathways for walkers, cyclists and horse riders. Environment. The environmental impact statement is disappointing. As someone who provides training in risk management, I deem the individual environment reports to be inadequate. Of particular concern are the reports discussing odour, fly infestation and protection of King's Brook. The reports clearly identify these as risks, however the risks are classed as minimal, although the definition of minimal in terms of probability and impact is not provided, nor is there any mention of a contingency plan should issues arise. Further, individual reports were based on historical data, and in my opinion a more useful risk analysis would have taken account of climate change. Highway safety. The officer has conceded that the visibility splay is short of the requirement, but believes the risk to safety is minimal due to the bend in the road, except for 15% of drivers travelling above 53.2 miles per hour. This represents 170 cars per day driving in excess of 60 miles per hour and 15 cars per day driving in excess of 70 miles per hour. I also would like you to be aware that the bend is only in one direction. The other direction is in fact a blind summit. In conclusion, I believe the officer's report fails to recognise the impact of the proposed industrial development on the value of the countryside, the use of the site as a recreation amenity for residents of the Wolds, Villages and Loughborough, the increased risk on the environment due to climate change, the safety of drivers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, if I can call on Councillor Boker as the ward councillor. I don't have to explain the system to yourself. Thank you very much.
Button. Otherwise, I know the system perfectly. Good afternoon, committee. Following on from Roy from Houghton Parish Council, I am representing residents in both Rempstone and Houghton who have objected strongly to this application on the following grounds. I'm sorry if some of this is repetitive. Increased traffic to transport eggs, hens, manure, feed and other supplies to and fro on the site, which is already on a very busy road. I believe there are huge safety issues with vehicles exiting the site, as there have been previous quite serious accidents at this very spot. There is a huge visual impact to Stanford Hall, Rempstone Hall, Rempstone Hall Farmhouse, Rempstone Hall Farm Bungalow, the Gardener's Cottage, Ling's Farmhouse and Warren Lodge, along with Houghton itself, which would all be looking onto the site. The site will be seen from certain positions on the public road, the public footpath and the bridle way. The proposed mechanical ventilation system means the smell would travel downwind to Rempstone Village, a problem we have in Burton-on-the-Wolds with the chicken farm there, and as you may know, the smell is quite offensive. There are many wild birds in the surrounding woodlands and Cimex lagoons, which could easily spread avian flu to the site and other health issues for humans, such as respiratory disease from the dust, could occur. The surface water and land drainage would end up polluting King's Brook due to the slope on the land, which in turn could run into the lake at Stanford Hall. Another complaint has been vermin and insects in the summer. The footpath running alongside the proposed development, or the footpaths, is regularly used by local residents, and although the route would not change, it would have a negative impact on this important leisure land. Walton in the Wolds, another village in my ward, in relation to Sunrise's previous planning applications, also raised complaints about the negative impact that existing sites under the same ownership had already had on their village. Concerns were raised in particular about flies and odour and operational procedures whereby the applicant had failed to adhere to best practice. And lastly, another objection raised was the ecological impact on King's Brook and its surroundings, which is home to a variety of valuable wild birds, including kingfisher, heron, buzzard, greylag, geese. These would be impacted by the habitat degrading. In summary, it is established planning policy at both national and local level that new development should be permitted outside established settlements in established circumstances only. These circumstances are normally related to a proven need, and I'm not sure that there is a proven need that has been established here other than a national demand for eggs and concerns about Brexit. The application site is located in open countryside, and it is my opinion that there are no exceptional circumstances which justify overriding the normal planning policies. The cumulative adverse impacts of the development outweigh the benefits. So, for me, there are reasons for refusal, which is loss of valuable arable site outside the limits to development, development which fails to respond to an identified local economic need and would result in increased traffic on rural roads where fatal accidents have occurred, an unacceptable impact on the character and appearance of the open countryside, and a huge impact on leisure pursuits, and a huge impact on local nature sites and its varied biodiversity. I wish I hadn't written so many difficult words. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. We now open it to discussion. I have Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. It's interesting going on the site visit today and going around a similar facility that's being built close by or elsewhere, which was useful to hear. And what I found from that was the noise levels were quite fairly gentle, probably similar to those that you would get from other farm uses. And the smells, again, I represent a number of farms in my area, which is quite highly agricultural. And again, smells at these facilities were facilities today we looked at weren't particularly great. I did have concerns before the visit on the impact of these two particular items, particularly smells, on the other applications that we have dealt with from the applicant. But going today, it was quite surprising at how sort of closer to probably normal farm agricultural use it was. The other comments regarding the highways, traffic, I believe in the report that it mentions two HGVs a day and some tractor use, which is tractors and the odd HGV you get from any sort of farm. So I'll listen to the rest of the debate, but at the moment I'm in support of this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Grimley. Councillor Tassel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was two items brought up during the objections, and one of them was the contamination of the brook. Now, this afternoon when we were out on site, it was said that the brook does flood out towards the towards Rempston. My worry is that hens, it was explained to us that the hens' manure would drop through a caged floor onto a belt and be taken out that way, onto a conveyor belt and taken out. But hens would also be relieving themselves out in the field. So any runoff of water would be going possibly downhill into that brook. Have we done any, is there any mitigating circumstances to stop that from happening, please? That's my first question. The next one is that, do we know how many employees this site is going to hold? And if so, nothing was mentioned this afternoon about the car parking. Where are the cars going to be parked? Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Tassel. Mr. Lewis, are you?
Yes, thank you. Through you, Chair. In terms of the issues Councillor Tassel raised in terms of the
contamination and manure. The development is EIA development, so it was supported by an environmental statement, and as part of that, a study and modelling was undertaken to look at the effects of ammonia and obviously pollution of the environment. Now, they've been scrutinised by ourselves, environmental health, our ecologist, and the EA, and they were satisfied with the results of that. So we concluded, as is set out in the report, that there wouldn't be significant effects from such activities to the brook or wildlife generally. In terms of employees, there'll be a manager that lives on site, and then there'll be a worker for each unit. So there'll be three on site. So given the amount of sort of access road within the site, it was not considered that parking for employees would be an issue at all.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Councillor Kemsall.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I just wanted to know how many chickens and how many will be able to go out in the field, will they? 64,000. So you've got 64,000 chickens pecking away and pooing. And that's not going to affect the biodiversity of the brook. I don't believe that one bit.
Through you, Chair. Having obviously dealt with the application, I've come to understand sort of how these free-range chicken units work. Yes, there would be 64,000, 32,000 for each unit. Now, chickens by their nature, I think, like to be inside unless the weather conditions are exactly perfect. And inside there are sort of perches, and obviously by nature as well, they like to be off the ground. So in reality, although they are free range, as I understand it, there aren't many chickens that will actually venture too far away from the sheds themselves. So yeah, does that answer your question?
Not really. So I mean, if it's just a percentage that go outside, then so what's the percentage? 20,000?
It's possible to say how many would leave the shed because, as I said, it depends on sort of weather conditions. But the impact in terms of manure and chickens being outside on the arable field, that has been considered as part of the EIS. That's evidence-based, and as I've said, our ecologist has looked at that, as have the EIA. The EA. As I set out in the report, we concluded that there wouldn't be significant impact in that regard.
Yeah, thank you. But at the minute, there's no chickens at all. So that brook and the wildlife surrounding it is there because of what's there at the minute. So any change is going to affect the biodiversity of the area.
If I may, I think... the answer has been provided that this has been assessed and a professional conclusion has been reached on this matter, that there won't be significant impact. So I don't think that's saying there won't be any impact, but it's not a significant impact that should be, that needs to be... officers conclude that it doesn't mean that planning permission should be refused on that basis. So I think that answer has been provided to you.
Thank you, Mr. Hopkins. Councillor Snart.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Looking through the information we have, the professional agencies have agreed, I think, about the impact and agreed with the OK to go ahead. But I am concerned about one or two things in here, which I may hopefully get some information from officers through you, Chair. The first one is, and it's really about altering some of the conditions for me. We're looking at page 16, which talks about the public rights of way, and it says, over time, mitigating landscape would reduce the impact on the landscape. And then we turn to the conditions, if I can find it. And then it says any trees or plants removed die in damage seriously diseased within 5 years. I would have thought that would have been something that needs to be there for perpetuity. This is on page 24, condition 6. And I'm really concerned that I don't understand what over time means. Over time, is it 5 years, 10 years? So it would be good to get some idea of what that is over time. And also, I would like to see somewhere in the actual conditions that these information about landscaping and putting in hedges and trees are there in perpetuity. Can I come back to you once I've had that answer?
Certainly, Councillor.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the landscaping condition that's being proposed, it's generally considered that a period of 5 years is sufficient to allow the landscaping to become established and therefore would remain in perpetuity. But if councillors would prefer, we could include a condition that requires a long-term management plan to be submitted, if members would feel more comfortable with that.
I would certainly, and hopefully that my colleagues could agree that, because I think if you look at it, the rights of way have said quite clearly that it is an issue, and I believe that we should do everything we can to mitigate that part of the application. So if that could be achieved, I would be grateful. The second part of it is deliveries, this is on page 19, deliveries to the proposed site will be scheduled during the normal working day and secured by a planning condition. When I turn to the planning condition, which is 18 and 19, I notice that the hours are 7 o'clock in the morning to 2200 hours at night, 10 o'clock. So in my view, that is over a normal working day. And I would like to see that reduced to, say, 6 o'clock in the evening. I think that would help as well with the highway safety issues, with not having traffic coming out of there, certainly in the wintertime in the dark. I think that would be an advantage to have 18 and 19 possibly coming down to 1800 hours, 6 o'clock at night. Just to get the information from the officer, if I may. And I have one more, if I could.
Mr. Marshall.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the reason for that condition, officers felt that it was reasonable, partly because it's consistent with other consents for other units that have been granted elsewhere. I think in this case, we'd need justification as to why we would deviate from that, particularly because there hasn't been an objection from environmental health officers on grounds of noise or disturbance. And similarly, this condition wasn't requested by the highway authority, so there is no concern in respect of highway safety. But ultimately, it's over to members to make a judgment as to whether they wish the condition to be amended.
Thank you.
I just come back to Madam Chair, and just come back to the point in the actual papers. It does say deliveries to be proposed during the normal working day, and I don't find 10 o'clock at night the normal working day. So again, I will leave it to my colleagues, but I would like to see a reduction in that. And finally, the reason for having a dwelling on site. It says that it should be limited person solely main working at the site and probably the manager. And then it goes on to say in condition 25, or a widow or a widower of such a person and or resident dependents. So the dependents could be there without anybody looking after the site. Well, I just don't quite understand that. So I'd be grateful through you again, Madam Chairman. If the house is or dwelling is there for to look after the site, I should have thought that that was always to be the case.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Chair. The precise wording of that condition is one that has been recommended by the Planning Inspectorate, and as such it's been one of our standard conditions that we've adopted to use. In terms of the sort of the issue that the Councillor Snart's raising in respect of sort of widowers and a widower or such person and any dependent residents, I think, you know, in the event that the manager passes away, I think it's only reasonable that the property remains available to be used by their widow or their spouse thereafter, or for as long as may be appropriate. I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, I'll just add that the condition is exactly the same as the planning guided. The planning guidance guides us to condition these sorts of matters in terms of agricultural dwellings.
I just don't know how they actually do it if that happens. And I mean, it's a bit sad, and it's a sad time for everybody then, but I'd just pick that up. Lastly, if I may, Madam Chairman, in there is the number of vehicles that are proposed coming out of this place. We have no conditions on that whatsoever. I wondered if we should, as a committee, put some condition on there which says that what is proposed in here is actually what actually happens. It could actually be more than that, I don't know. But is it something that we ought to... And I'll take the guidance from the officers on that.
Yeah. Councillor, I think the conditions were the amount of traffic going in and out, discounting people that worked there, was two or three a day or two or three a week. Is what I would consider as traffic, lorries and things, but I will ask the officers to clarify that. And then I have one or two other speakers.
Thank you, Chair. The vehicular movements that are anticipated are set out on page 21 of the report. The highway document that was submitted as part of the EIS suggests that there'll be 16 vehicular movements coming in and out of there each day, and that takes into account deliveries, workers on the site, but also the people actually living on the site as well. So on that basis, it wasn't considered that there would be sufficient amount of vehicular movements that would either be a danger to highway safety, and also in respect of controlling that through a condition, I was often not convinced that would be enforceable.
Is that happy with that, Councillor Snart? Yes, as I read it, I thought it was two HGVs a week, five a week, and six to eight during the day. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I can touch on that, Chair, because I'm a little bit confused, which I know is quite normal, but... The applicant, one of the speakers suggested that these were the biggest employers in Sauber, and yet the officers have just said there'd only be three to four people working there. I'm a little bit confused. Is it three to four people working there? Because that will create, if it is one of the biggest employers in Sauber, where are all these cars going to park? Because I think, like Jones said, there's no car parking anywhere. So can you just explain that to me, Chair?
The officer will clarify, but I think the speaker indicated that across his operation in this area, there were 75 people in all his sites, but the officer will clarify. because of the other places that he has, that there are under this company that have other places.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, that is correct. The main egg packing unit, which employs the vast majority of the staff, is at Sileby. On this particular site, each unit will have a worker there packing the eggs ready to be taken away for delivery, which is overseen by a manager that would live in the worker's dwelling. Does that clarify?
Got another one then, Chair, if I may. The footpaths. There's a lot of talk about the footpaths in the area, and there's one particular one that I think it's Loughborough walkers have suggested a boarded footpath. Is that the case? Is that going to happen, or are we just? Can I ask what's happening with that, Chair?
It may be the Ramblers Association and also the County Highway Public Rights of Way Officer suggested that details be provided in terms of hard surfacing to the public rights of way. Officers haven't included that as a condition because we don't think it's necessary, because the development is not going to increase the number of people that would use the public rights of way that would justify hard surfacing them, but also hard surfacing them would detract further from the rural character and appearance of the area. It just wasn't considered to be necessary and therefore wasn't included as a condition.
Thank you for that, Chair. I think Davey's just raised some really good points there. And subject to a long-term management plan for the planting area, and possibly subject to the hours of deliveries, because I also believe that 10 o'clock at night isn't normal working hours, I would recommend officers' recommendation.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Councillor Kemps.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to go back to when the chickens are out in the field again. They're going to attract foxes and buzzards that might come down to have a tasty meal. How's the applicant going to control this? Is he going to start shooting our wildlife, or do they just expect to lose, a few hundred?
That's not relevant to the application. Whether that happens or not is not part of the consideration.
It's changing the biodiversity of the area. It's foxes and buzzards coming. We've got red kites coming back into the area, which take hens and chickens. So this bloke's going to start shooting them to protect his stock. It's going to change things.
I don't think that's a planning consideration. That's whether people shoot animals or anything else. And that is an operational, should the application be given. And that's a completely different department that would deal with that. But I don't think at the moment we would go for that.
Thank you, Chair. On page 19, the residential amenities of lighting. Now, I know it's going to be access lighting, and it says on the conditions it's going to be... it's a condition, I believe... 20, external lighting. Is it possible that we could make sure that the lights are pressing downwards and not as bright, because of it's quite a busy road that, and it can be quite. I know other areas in other domestic places in the area have got, and you can see them coming across. It can be quite blinding in the dark because there's no road lighting. The other situation I would like to just, and it's only a suggestion to the actual owners, is can they not, because of the actual smell of the chicken poo, can they not get a deodorizer to actually deodorize the poo? And that would actually, it's only a suggestion, but it is actually, I do know that you can do it for pigs and cattle.
Thank you very much, Councillor Ransom. Mr. Marshall.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the lighting condition, the wording of the condition is already quite specific in that it only permits low-level lighting. In terms of the issues raised in terms of manure, it's not considered necessary to do that. As the report states, the manure would be removed from site twice weekly.
you. I think we have Councillor Tassel.
Thank you. I'm awfully sorry about this, but I'm going to go back to the chickens outside in the field. Is there going to be any means of clearing up the poo that is dropped by these thousands of chickens? Or are they just going to walk it all into, keep walking it all into the ground and causing a smell? Now, the smell from chicken manure is quite, it's ammonia, and it is quite strong. I mean, when you have horses, you go round and pick the poo up, the same as you do with these thousands and thousands of chickens in this area. They're not going to go back indoors to do what they need to do. Can we have a look and see what they're going to do to mitigate the smell, if possible? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll ask the officer, but I do think that the external, the independent people we've looked at, and also the environment impact statement has covered that. I think we have to realise that these aren't little fields. This isn't like me keeping chickens in a small area. These are acres. And it is, we then go out and put manure on the fields anyway that are from the chickens. So people are doing that. But I think it is covered by the environment impact statement on this type of mitigation. I don't think it is in the gift of this committee. The officers will correct me either way to say that people have got to go out and clean the fields, and also I think this is not, we don't do it for cows in fields. We don't go out and pick up theirs at all. So but I will ask the officers to clarify, and then I have another couple of speakers.
Thank you, Chair. I can only really reiterate what you've just said. Obviously, the management practices are covered by the EA permit, and they are more stringent than we could ever be in terms of planning conditions. And again, obviously, this is an agricultural field. It's an agricultural use. There's nothing to stop the applicant from putting livestock on the field at present. And again, you know, that would be subject to possibly an EA permit, depending on the number of cattle on there. But again, it's not something that would justify a reason for refusal.
Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. I'm satisfied that this is an agricultural building on agricultural land, and I do accept that there's a proven need. I'm satisfied also that there will be at least long-term sufficient screening for the right-of-way. I'm satisfied it's a modern unit and that there shouldn't be any significant infestation of flies or other vermin. I need to come back on Councillor Snart's comment about the manager's house. And should the manager die, we wouldn't want to see a bereaved family thrown out, as used to happen with agricultural workers, and this must never happen now. My one question, I am prepared, I believe, to second the motion to accept officer recommendation, but I've just got one question about pollution of the nearby brook. On page 28, going on to page 29 of the report, do sections 8, 9 and 10 provide sufficient addressing of the potential for pollution of the brook? And if not, could we put something else in that would address any issues of polluting the brook? So I just want to know whether 8, 9 and 10 would do in fact address those issues.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Mr. Marsh.
Thank you, Chair. Points 8, 9 and 10 are informatives that were suggested to be included on the permission as recommended by the lead local flood authority. And there is obviously a condition that requires a drainage scheme to be submitted. The plans submitted do show an area for a flood attenuation feature, and that's simply for surface water drainage. Yes. Does that answer the query?
I think so. I mean, I just wonder whether we need to strengthen that a little and perhaps say in 12 months after operation begins that some checking of the water quality is done or something like that, to and that should continue every couple of years or something like that to make sure that, that there isn't any pollution of the brook so that it can be addressed at an early stage should that happen. Would that be possible?
Mr. Marshall, is that possible?
Thank you, Chair. As I said previously, the use would be controlled by an EA permit, and as I understand it, they would audit the site on an annual basis, and they would look at matters of pollution, both sort of in the air and also of the Kingsbrook and of the ground as well. So these sorts of issues are covered outside of the planning process more stringently than we can do.
I'm satisfied with that, and I'm prepared to second the motion.
Thank you. Just a couple of further points. Picking up from the issue of foxes getting, I believe there's talk of up to 1,200 or 1.2-metre high fencing around, which may sound sort of fairly low, but living next to a small holding that does have chickens, that does appear to prevent the foxes getting in there. The only times they do get foxes is when they leave the gate open. This is another item that was touched upon as well, which I just wanted to mention, was the design of the building, which I forgot to mention early. The one that we did see in the timber clad did work well within the sort of rural environment, so I was pleased with that one as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. If Jenny hadn't seconded it, I was going to do so. I haven't got anything else to add.
Thank you. Councillor Snart, you could...
Yeah, it's a point of information. I wasn't saying that we should throw the widow out or the family. What I was trying to suggest is that if the manager was not there anymore and the family was still there, is there a need for the house anyway? Because there wouldn't be anybody on site doing that work. So what I was trying to clarify is that necessary, that building?
Passed to the officers, but I think it was explained that is a standard condition belief now.
Through you, Chair. All agricultural workers' dwellings, normally in a dwelling in this location wouldn't be permitted. All agricultural workers' dwellings have to be accompanied by a statement that what not only proves that they're required under the functional test, but also the financial test. That has been submitted, and the Borough Council, the Local Planning Authority, has employed an independent expert to go through those figures, who has confirmed, which is in the report, that both the functional and financial tests have been met. Therefore, we are confident that there is a need for an agricultural dwelling on this site.
Right. Thank you very much, everybody. Now then, there was a couple of points that were brought up. For an amendment to the conditions, which was to do with the hours of work, was to whether it was considered that 7 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night might be considered a bit too long. And the proposal was that it should finish at 1,800 hours. That was proposed by Councillor Snart. Is it 1,800 hours that people would like? Is there a seconder, or is there an alternative?
So I could just clarify. I think you were talking about movement of vehicles, weren't you?
No.
And not working hours.
Working hours.
I think actually, Chair, we're talking about the conditions 18 and 19. Sorry, 18 is the movement of traffic, and I think 19 is the clearance operation.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy for them to be different, but I do think we need to do something about the movement of traffic to help the local residents.
Councillor, when you say the movement is to reduce the number of vehicles from six a day to just the hours,
alter the hours, okay. And I do believe, you know, seven till six would be adequate on that. And as far as condition 19, I think seven till seven would be adequate, if that's acceptable to the seconder. Yes. Yes.
Officers, is that so? What we're looking at is item 18, condition 18 to be 7 o'clock till 1800 hours, and condition 19 to be 7 o'clock to 1900 hours. Have I taken that?
Yeah, very quickly. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, I do represent a lot of agricultural farms, and they don't work the normal standard hours that us and people in the office do. So whilst 10 o'clock might be slightly late, and sort of thinking, you know, maybe sort of 9 o'clock or something like that for deliveries. I mean, deliveries are, it did say two a week, didn't it, on the deliveries? I think I got that mixed up with two a day. So we're not talking about a huge amount of deliveries in a week. And we do need to remember that agricultural businesses do work different hours to other businesses.
Thank you very much. We do have to also bear in mind that the nearest resident, domestic resident, the nearest one is 500 metres away. But if it is the wish of this planning committee that the hours are altered, we have a proposal for item 18, condition 18, as I've already said, from 7 till 1800, and condition 19 to 7 till 1900. Now, bearing in mind of the residents in the area, is that what is the wish of this council, of this committee?
I personally think, I wouldn't have said it, but I think it's a good balance between not only the actual residents, but it's also highway safety as well. And I think that's an opportunity to do that as well. But it's mainly to keep the actual highway free, and it's also the noise levels going through. You've got to remember, these are probably tractors that are going through. We don't know. In fact, on 19 is clearance operations, so it would be a tractor, I guess.
I don't know whether I was given to understand it was more like to be vehicles, heavy vehicles, but I can't say that. And that the red. So. Can we move?
So just on a procedural point, so there are two ways in which this can proceed. If there's a consensus around a amended condition, the proposer, who I believe is Councillor Lowe, and the seconder, Councillor Tillotson, should be asked to say what they're actually proposing. If, as Chair, you feel that there might be a difference of views regarding whether this condition is appropriate or not, I would suggest that there's a separate vote on the condition. And while I'm at it, Chair, there was a second additional condition that Councillor Lowe proposed in terms of the requirement to submit a long-term management plan for the landscaping.
We take each proposal separately, please. So can we have a look at condition 18? Mr. Bennett would like to clarify something for us.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, if I may, just provide some advice to the committee. It's one or two things that have been said sporadically by officers through the debate to provide assistance to members about this issue of the condition. I think, as Mr. Marshall has already noted, this condition is consistent with other conditions that apply to other poultry facilities elsewhere in the area, and that's where we've taken our steer from on this. But I think it's helpful to also point out that the Highway Authority has not raised any particular concerns about vehicle movements at this time of night. We are talking about a very low volume of movements, you know. I think it was two deliveries, I think, up to this time in the evening. We also need to be mindful that the nearest residents are 500 metres and 700 metres respectively. So, you know, it is, in terms of an amenity issue, very low in terms of impact. And at that time of night, at 10 o'clock at night, is actually a very quiet time when that road's being used. And it does provide an opportunity for the business to operate, you know, when the roads are a bit quieter, and to move stock around without being you know, caught in rush hour traffic and that sort of thing. So I just provide that advice to the members before you go to considering what the hours should be.
Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. I personally don't have any strong views about this, and I'm prepared to go with the majority. But I just wonder, through you, Chair, whether it would be possible for you, procedurally, to ask the applicant whether what's being proposed is an issue. I believe you, as Chair, can do that.
I understand that I am permitted to ask that question of either Mr. Crawley or Mr. Ford. Would you like to come down? Because we have to record you, and we can only record you through the microphones.
It would be difficult to never say never. Food deliveries, essential for the chickens. The lorry can break down. It can be late. I can ask of the food company that all deliveries are made from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m. or 6 p.m. That isn't a problem in a request, but should the vehicle break down en route and I'm in need of the poultry food, then I would still like the ability, not all the time, but the ability that the delivery could still be made for the welfare of the birds on site, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Crawley.
If I can come back then, Chair, could I suggest that what we do is say that normally no later than 6 or 7, but in exceptional circumstances, 10 o'clock.
I'm getting a nod from the other side of the table. Councillor Ransom has seconded that matter.
If I may, through you, Chair, I think that would be very difficult for us to control. And if there was a need to seek to control that condition, I think we'd be on a sticky wicket.
Can I just provide a bit of additional advice for that? I mean, if members, we have been in this situation before where you would prefer something, but under planning requirements can't necessarily justify it. And in this case, you might want to indicate what your preference would be, but outside of a condition. We've done that. We did it at the last committee using an informative. It seems to me that might be a better route than the route that members are going down.
Councillor Rance.
Chair, I'm quite happy with that explanation, and the fact, as I've seconded the proposal, what we could do as a council and the environmental area in our council, it could actually monitor it to make sure, because you don't want dead chickens on your hands.
Officers, could you help me phrase the proposal now, please, because on the lines that Ms. Jackson has suggested.
If you were to follow the advice that I'd just provided and Richard's just provided, officer's advice would be that you keep the condition the same as it is, and if members were minded, you add an additional informative to say that whilst notwithstanding the condition, that you would prefer that normal operations of these activities would happen between set times.
Yes. So what we would be saying is the conditions stand, but with an informative that we would prefer, as discussed, 7 till 6 and 7 till 9. Is that how you understand it? I've had a proposer and I've had a seconder. Please.
Sorry, just being dim. You just said 7 till 9 for condition 19. Did you mean that, or 7 till 7? Yeah, thank you. And as I mentioned before, plus the management plan.
So can we take it at the same time that there is a management plan for the landscaping? That was proposed by Councillor Lowe.
I'm a little bit confused, actually, Chair, and perhaps Margaret can help me here, because there's proposals on proposals, on seconded on proposals, on more proposals. And I'm not really sure what the original proposal was, because I've got another proposal coming forward all the time. I believe the original proposal that was seconded was that I would support officer's recommendation subject to the long-term management plan of the agriculture. I think we've now agreed as a committee that we'll withdraw any obstructions to conclusion 18 and 19 and just put it forward as a memo.
Yes. Yes.
That's the proposal. Thank you.
Chair, just for clarity for the recorded record, you just said long-term management plan of the agriculture, but what we were talking about previously was the landscape areas. Not quite.
May we go forward? We have a proposer, we have a seconder. May I see a show of hands, please? All those in favour?
12 in favour.
Any against? Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.